Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. This is the Tuesday of Holy Week. Is it a week set apart? I know you can't change all your activities. I know that. I understand. You have responsibilities. You have obligations. But is there some way during the day when you could set apart 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, maybe even a half hour, that you give it to God, both to thank Him for what He has done for you, to ask Him to draw you closer to Himself. Thank Him. Thank Him through this holy week. Thank Him especially for what He has done for you upon the cross. Seriously, you say it's busy week. They're always busy weeks. But I think you could find 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, to thank Him, to bless Him, to ask for the grace to become more His disciple. Please, please do that. Almighty ever-living God, grant us to so celebrate the mysteries of the Lord's Passion that we may merit to receive your pardon through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, that we can ponder what God did for us in Christ so much that it brings out of us a desire to beg forgiveness, to bow down before Him, to receive all that He has for us. It's not groveling. It's the right posture, to bow down before Him and to thank Him. And oh, how much He gives us in return. First reading for today is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 to 6. Hear me, O islands. Listen, O distant peoples, the Lord called me from birth. From my mother's womb He gave me my name. He made of me a sharp-edged sword and concealed me in the shadow of His arm. He made me a polished arrow. In His quiver He hid me. You are my servant, He said to me, Israel, through whom I share my glory. You are my servant, He said to me, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Though I thought I had toiled in vain and for nothing uselessly spent my strength, yet my reward is with the Lord, my recompense is with my God. For now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as His servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to Him and Israel gathered to Him. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. It is too little, He says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. As the prophecy from the prophet Isaiah, centuries upon centuries ago, the Messiah would come and He would bring restoration. He would bring healing, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And so He has come. Do we receive from Him? Do we seek to follow Him? Do we express our gratitude? I have the hope of everlasting life because of what He did for me, where there will be no more mourning, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death anymore. Scripture tells us that, for the old order will have passed away, and all will be new. That's what God has for us. That's why it's worth everything. It's true. It's not a fairy tale. Psalm 71, I will sing of your salvation. That's what we should be doing too during this week, thanking the Lord. In you, Lord, I take refuge. Be my rock, a refuge, a stronghold to give me safety, for you are my rock and my fortress. O my God, rescue me from the hand of the wicked. You're my hope, O Lord, my trust, O God, from my youth. On you I depend from birth. From my mother's womb you are my strength. My mouth shall declare your justice, day by day your salvation. O God, you have taught me from my youth, until the present I proclaim your wondrous deeds. Oh, brothers and sisters, God has so much that He wants to give us. He has so much he wants to give us. Please, please open your heart to him. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 21 to 33, and then 36 to 38. Reclining at table with his disciples, Jesus was deeply troubled and testified, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another at a loss to whom he meant. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter nodded to him to find out whom he meant. He leaned back against Jesus' chest and said to him, "Master, who is it? Who's the one who's going to betray you?" Everybody's poking everybody else. Ask him who he means. And it's John, the one whom Jesus loved, reclining at Jesus' side. And Peter nods to him, you know, "Find out." And he said to him, "Master, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I hand the morsel after I have dipped it." So he dipped the morsel and took it and handed it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, the one who was captivated by money, even to the point of killing the Messiah. After Judas took the morsel, Satan entered him. First it was a temptation, now it's a reality. So Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Jesus knows. He poured himself out on Judas, poured himself out for 3 years on Judas. Things that we think are important to us can so easily take precedence even over God's voice. Do you have anything in your life like that? If so, confess it. Ask God to give you grace and help to change. It's a process. Keep repenting, asking God for grace to change. Now, none of those reclining at table realized why he said this to him. Some thought that since Judas kept the money bag, Jesus had told him, "Buy what we need for the feast." Oh, he must have been asking him to go out and get this or get that, or to give something to the poor. So Judas took the morsel, and he left at once, and it was night. It was night. That's not just a little thing like saying, you know, it was evening or it was 6 o'clock or something like that. That's not it. John is saying it was night. In other words, the darkness had come down upon them. It probably was physically dark, but the darkness he's speaking here is night. It's night when Jesus is now betrayed totally, and the process of his crucifixion and death has begun. And it was night. There are moments in our lives when we too could say, "And it was night," because we made wrong choices, wrong decisions. We walked in the wrong path, and it affected us for the rest of our lives. But Jesus always forgives. If you come sincerely, doesn't matter how many years, if you come to him sincerely, Jesus would have forgiven. And if Judas had come to him and asked forgiveness, Jesus would have forgiven him. But Judas despaired. Never, ever despair. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me. And as I told the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say it to you." And Simon Peter said to him, "Master, where are you going?" And Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow me later." Peter said to him, "Master, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Peter's in turmoil here. "I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus, knowing full well what is to come, says, "Will you lay down your life for me? Will you? Amen, amen, I say to you, the cock will not crow before you deny me three times. Judas went out and despaired. Peter went out weeping and asked forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, never, never, never doubt God's willingness to forgive, no matter how great the crime, no matter how heinous the crime. God will forgive when we come to him genuinely and sincerely in repentance and ask for freedom. Jesus, in his incredible mercy, will give you new life. That's what he has for all of you. Wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this program, God would not refuse forgiveness to anyone. It's just that we have to acknowledge it and come and ask for it. Why? Because God wants to draw us close to him. He wants to hold us. He wants us to rest against him. He wants us to be that close to him so that he can help us in our battle against sin. And so that we can realize that he honestly is the source of life for us. I don't have the source of life in me. It is in him. There is so much that Jesus can teach us when we rest against his chest, when we place ourselves at his feet, when we sit quietly with him. He has so much that he wants to give us. So brothers and sisters, I really want to urge you, spend time in this week before the Blessed Sacrament. Spend time going to Mass when you can this week, please. Receive the Eucharist, receive the power, receive the love that is yours. Call on the grace of your baptism, call on the grace of your confirmation, that the Holy Spirit, who is the love of the Father for the Son and the Son for the Father, may grow, may have room to grow in you and expand in you and lead you and guide you and strengthen you for the crosses that we all have to carry. Please, please read the Passion of the Christ. You can read it in different Gospels if you wish, and I've said this before, but read it out loud a couple of times this week. Read it out loud and ask the Lord to teach you and to speak to your heart. The Eucharist and the Word are what changes us, because in them is the living God. And he wants to supply everything we need. Don't try to do it on your own. I'll tough it out. I'll make it work. Don't do that. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. He's saying that to us even when we're part of the reason he was so wounded and died. He loves you beyond price. Love him in return. God bless you. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.